And with all this arousal from words, from concepts, and so forth, let's now relax, loosen up, drop your shoulders, let your awareness descend into the body, right down to the ground, into this non-conceptual field of somatic sensations. It's quiet in there. Let your awareness similarly be quiet. And rest your body, relax, still and vigilant. Strike the vital point of your speech by allowing a respiration to flow unimpededly, effortlessly. And rest your awareness effortlessly right where it already is, neither going outwards nor inwards, releasing all grasping, unencumbered, free, naked. Let your awareness rest in its own place, utterly at ease, still and luminous. And from this stillness, remain in the stillness. But let the light of your awareness illuminate intentionally the space of the mind, the sixth domain of experience, while withdrawing your interest, your deliberate attention, from the five physical sense fields, and deliberately let the light of your awareness shine upon the space of the mind and whatever arises within it, the thoughts, the images, all the movements and activities of the mind. And be discerningly mindful of them from moment to moment. This is called taking the impure mind as the path. It's called settling the mind in its natural state. It's called shamatha, to focus on the mind. Clearly distinguish between the stillness of your awareness and the movements of the mind. sustain the ongoing flow of self-knowing awareness, the ongoing cognizance of being aware. Don't lose sight of that. Now, to clearly take an interest with discerning mindfulness, with intelligence, into the range of movements, activities that arise in the space of the mind. Be aware of the objective appearances, such as mental images, discursive thoughts. Be aware of the subjective impulses, such as desires and emotions. All of these are movements of the mind. Like going into a forest and becoming vividly aware of the whole range of flora and fauna within this natural habitat, and not just think it's pretty or it's a forest. Get to know the neighborhood of your mind by looking very closely. And this is watching the nature of your mind. Like bird watching, like stargazing. This is folk psychology. But now let's bring in the sharp spear of investigation, of inquiry, of contemplative science, resting in the stillness of awareness. Sustain that flow to the best of your ability. And while so doing, focusing your attention intensely, piercingly, on the space of the mind and whatever arises within it, as soon as something comes up, such as a discursive thought or mental image. Observe closely, where does it come from? How did it first appear? I would add, so the you don't reinforce the delusion of thinking your mind is inside your head. Let your eyes be open, at least partially, and vacantly rest your visual gaze in the space in front of you. So there is a sense of spaciousness. You're not locked inside your head. There's an openness here. And within this openness, then selectively focus on the domain of the mind, which is not small, it's not inside your head. It has no center, it has no periphery. Attend closely to the space of the mind. And as soon as something arises within it, examine it closely. Where did it come from? How did it arise? and see what you see. These are not rhetorical questions. They are questions that can give rise to insight, to knowledge. These phenomena of the mind, they do exist. They do have causal efficacy within this domain of reality, relative reality, deceptive reality. These have causal efficacy. They do exist. And if they exist, where do they come from? And once they've arisen, now observe again, closely applying mindfulness to when thoughts, emotions, any mental events take place, where are they located? Do you see any evidence that they are behind your eyes, inside your head? Is there any evidence that they are arising elsewhere in your body, in your heart, in your gut, your limbs? Or might they be located outside of your body? And if so, where? Are they located in physical space? If so, where? If they're located only in mental space, where is that mental space? Does it have physical location? Observe closely. Emotions come up. Desires come up. And after a while, sooner or later, they're no longer there. You used to feel this way and now you don't. You used to want this and now, right now, you don't. Thoughts come up. Sometimes a cascade of thought comes up. But after a while, there's an interval. There's a little brief interlude of silence. Mental images come up, then they pass. So where do these mental events go? These activities of the mind, these movements of the mind, when they vanish, where do they go? Do they disappear right where they are? And how do they go? Do they gradually fade out? Or are they suddenly no longer there? Observe closely. We now, that is in modern science, we know more about the origins of even distant galaxies and where they are located and what is the destiny as the universe continues to expand. Will it continue to expand until everything goes dead cold or will the universe begin to contract once again into a singularity? Much is known about galaxies. Much is known about the planets, when they originated, how they originated, where they are located, and what will become of the planets around our sun when the sun dies and engulfs them in its heat. We know so much about the external world because we have been looking carefully. We know so little about the origins, location, and destination of the mind for a very simple reason. We've been looking elsewhere, to behavior, to brain, or just not looking at all. This inner domain is the great mystery to the modern world, but only because we have not devised the technology or the science to explore it successfully. We can do so now. And the mysteries will be revealed. And there will be clarity. By observing closely, by following the Buddha's own injunction, come and see for yourself.